Welcome to What's Ailing America with your host, Dr. Rebecca Carlin, the world's only court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases. Dr. Rebecca Carlin.
Namaste, and welcome back to another edition of What's Ailing America. The views expressed on this broadcast are not endorsed by BBS Radio staff or management and represent the views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers. Additionally, the information I share with you is not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, I am merely teaching you what I would do if I were you, after much research on each subject. To learn about my work explaining and reversing vaccine-induced diseases, please go to the www.drcarley.com, that's drcarley.com, and listen to the interview of myself by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance to learn how I went from being a surgeon to a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases and how the medical mafia has responded to my stepping out of the box. I do consults for people and pets with autoimmune diseases and cancer. To teach people how to reverse these problems with natural therapies, I have clients all over the world and do everything based on history alone. You do not have to come to North Carolina to see me. Please call me at the number on my website if you would like to learn how I do consults. I ask you to consider the information I give using your own God-given common sense and discern the truth for yourself. I love to answer your questions, so feel free to call in toll-free at 877-270-8714. In Canada, the toll-free number is 888-228-4494. If those numbers are busy, there's other numbers available. Just go to the bbsradio.com website, Station 2, and you'll find a number that you can call. All shows are archived, and it's fine if you only use your first name when you call in. Every week, I will answer the question, "What ails America?" with a different response, as well as share the good news of what can heal America on many levels. My goal is to assist in the evolution of consciousness on this planet, for awareness of the truth shall set us free. And I know that once enough of us have become aware that inoculations are the true weapons of mass destruction, once we all raise our vibrations of wellness, we will be able to open our eyes, because you see, things are very dark out there, and you have to be healthy in order to face what's happening in this world. And once we do that, once we get a critical mass of people that have their eyes open, together we will be able to stop the Holocaust on the health of people and pets. And if you don't stand up for the truth, you will fall for any lies. So I ask all of you, how far down the rabbit hole are you willing to go? But I ask you to be uplifted, as the weak-willed puppets of darkness are being made visible to the public eye through shows such as this. And the once feeble calls for cease and desist are now a roaring outcry. On tonight's show, I'm going to answer the question, What's Ailing America? By explaining the third diagram on my website, and that is the vaccination diagram. So I ask all of you to go to drcarley.com. Click on diagram number 3 and print it, and you'll be able to follow along with me and also call in and ask if you have any questions, because tonight I'm going to explain how vaccines cause all autoimmune disease and cancer based on the corruption in the immune system that they cause. And I must say that I'm getting more and more documentation that this is true every day. It's really quite amazing that even the white coats, mostly in other countries, but even some in this country, are doing research to prove me right. It's really quite wonderful how that's all working out. But before I start explaining the diagrams, I just have to tell you about a little editorial that was in my local paper here in Charlotte, North Carolina. You know, how the sheep are allowed to write into the editorial board. Of course, they never print anything I write. But on October 24th of 2007, a Carol Franks from Sherrill's Ford wrote a response to an article that was in the paper about how so many people are getting religious exemptions from vaccinations. And what she says is the following: I was shocked and outraged to learn that North Carolina grants religious exemptions from the vaccinations required to enter preschool. It has been proven that immunizations have prevented dreaded diseases such as polio, whooping cough, and rubella. Parents who refuse to allow immunization should be prohibited from sending those children to any school. It takes only a few people to cause an outbreak. This anti-vaccine movement is dangerous for our entire population, not just children, and is based on ignorance and irrationality. Well, Carol Franks, I'm sorry, but you shouldn't be pointing the finger at the people that aren't vaccinating, because it's going to be funny how it all works out when they come to your house to inoculate you with the bird flu vaccine and you get very, very sick. But I was very happy, since the paper refused, of course, to print my response to that article, because I get into some much stronger things than this person does. But there's a Theodore S. Arrington, a political science professor from UNC Charlotte, and this is what he wrote. In response to no vaccination, religion endangers all of us. North Carolina wisely grants parents the right to ask for religious exemption from vaccination requirements for their children when they enter daycare, kindergarten, or public school. This accommodation causes no harm to others. If vaccination grants immunity to a disease, then those who are vaccinated can't be harmed by those who are not. If it doesn't grant immunity, then vaccination is a medical fraud. Those seeking exemption out of sincere religious conviction will cause no epidemics. The freedom of religion protected by the First Amendment is precious, and we should guard against the tendency to establish conventional medicine as a state religion. Okay, and let me just say that I'm going to be sending a special packet of CDs to Professor Arrington and bring him up to the next level to let him know how right he is, because that's the big question you should be asking, folks. If vaccinations work, then why is my unvaccinated child a danger to others? Okay, I understand that we have a caller on the line.
Yes.
Speak up.
Hello? My name is Rebecca Bark.
Okay, can you talk a little bit louder, please?
Yes, my name is Rebecca Bark.
Hello, Rebecca.
And I live in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a son who is 14 that has autism.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you could give me any helpful hints on, you know, anything further that I could do with my child.
Yes, I certainly can. But I can't do it in a few minutes on the phone. What
mm-hmm.
you need to do is call me after the show, or anytime. I take calls from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., 7 days a week, and
mm-hmm.
I will explain how I do consults. Because
mm-hmm.
each person has to be treated as an individual. And the
uh-huh.
way I do my consults is I take a very detailed history from you in regards to all the toxins your child has been exposed to. Now, the measles virus and the pertussis virus and the hepatitis virus, actually, also, are the main demyelinating viruses, and that is what's causing all of the neurological problems, autism, Tourette syndrome, Guillain-Barré, Lou Gehrig's disease, Parkinson's, all of these things. It's all from that same cause. The only thing that determines what disease you get, which is based on what symptoms you have, is where the demyelination occurs. But I also, you know, ask a history in terms of other toxin exposure, including heavy metals, which do not cause autism, but they're not good for you. Pesticides can also cause demyelination, some mold toxins, antibiotics, and yeast. I get a very detailed history from you in terms of all the things that your child has been exposed to, and then develop an individual protocol just for him to teach you how to detoxify all those things using homeopathy and what natural things you can give him to uncorrupt the immune system as well as to heal the damage. There's even homeopathic remedies that can repair the myelin sheath. So that's what you need to do, is to call me. If there was a way that I could do a one-size-fits-all, I would just write a book and tell people how to do this and go on vacation. Unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
that's not how it works. Even the children that are autistic have many different issues amongst them. Some autistic children have seizures. Some autistic children have asthma. Some autistic children have all kinds of food allergies. So all of them are different, even though they have the same label put on them.
Mm-hmm. And I'm doing supplement, like vitamins and stuff, for my child.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that would be safe to do?
Well, I love it when people ask me questions like that. You got them inoculated with disease, and now you wonder if vitamins are safe. Well, all I can tell you is that autistic children are so metabolically deranged that anything you do for them is going to help them a little bit. But if you actually want to get rid of the problem, you have to get to the root of the cause. And the inoculations causing demyelination is what's causing all of these things. So, you know, that's fine, but it's not going to reverse his autism. In order to reverse the autism, you have to get rid of the viruses that are in his body that are causing production of myelin antibodies that are attacking his brain. That's
okay.
What you have to do.
Okay, and can I just use the same number that I called, or is it
no.
a different number?
Well,
I'll
give my number. It's on. Did you go to my website yet, drcarly.com?
I had went on, and I just got on the computer, and someone had sent me an email saying that you was on the radio,
mm-hmm.
and I just thought I would call in and ask
the question.
No, that's
great. I love it when people call. But this is what I appreciate if people do, because I spend so much time on the phone, I'm probably going to get brain cancer. That's a joke, because I do all kinds of detoxing myself. But the thing is, if you can read the documents on my website, at least the inoculations, the true weapons of mass destruction, and my response to the CDC, then you'll have an idea of what the problem is. And then we can talk more intelligently about what needs to be done. But
okay.
My number is 828-294-0662. That's 828-294-0662. Now, I get calls from all over the world, actually. I always prefer for my first interaction for anybody, no matter what country they're on, to be on the phone, because it's just too hard to explain everything by email. So if I don't answer, if my service picks up, then you'll know that I'm on the phone with somebody else, and just leave a time when I can get back to you, and I will get back to you and explain how I do consults. And what I do ask each and every one of you is to spread the word about my website and about these broadcasts, because I'm telling you, folks, they're getting ready to unleash the bird flu vaccine on the population. And when they do that, we are going to have a pandemic, which could easily give them an excuse to put us into martial law. So we must wake up a critical mass of the people who will stand up together and just say no. I do not condone violence. We have to just say no. We are not going to take their shot. And that's what we have to do. So check out the diagrams on my website, Rebecca, and I'll be happy to speak to you anytime and explain to you how I do consults. And I will say that probably two-thirds of my clients are neurologically damaged. I have clients with everything, every autoimmune disease you can imagine. As a matter of fact, I just got a call from one of my clients in Canada a couple of days ago whose child was 18 years old. He had a stroke after a meningitis vaccine, and then he went into renal failure after they gave him all the drugs after he had the stroke. And she called me up to say that just the first part of the protocol he did actually reversed his renal failure enough where he could go off dialysis. Unfortunately, the doctors in Canada don't want him to allow him to do that. So I'm hoping she's going to be able to call in one of these shows. She works during this time, but you got to hear her story. It's unbelievable. But this protocol works for everything. No matter what's wrong with you, as long as you're willing to do what you need to do, I explain to people the four main things that determine how well anybody gets are the following. First of all, are you going to do what you have to do? Obviously, if you don't take what I teach you to take, it's not going to work. The second thing is, how old is the person? The younger you are, the faster changes occur. The third thing is, how long have you had the problem? I have little babies with insulin-dependent diabetes. They recuperate very quickly. If you've had insulin-dependent diabetes for 30 years, that's another story. And then the last thing is, are you going to be willing to go off the drugs? I have a few patients that have cancer who are too scared not to do chemo. Most of the people that I have with cancer don't do chemo because they realize that chemo causes cancer. And so they realize this is just adding more toxins to the mix. But a few of them are afraid and they do chemo. So if you're going to do the white coats, you know, witchcraft, you're not going to get better as fast. But whoever, you know, calls me, I will help them, even if they want to continue with the drugs. Once they start to see the results of what we do, they always come around eventually.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, well, thank you for answering my questions.
You're very welcome, and please do listen to the show, because tonight I'm going to describe what causes autism.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay. So, let's get to that third diagram, folks. I hope you've printed it off from the website. Now, as you'll see at the top of the page, it says, What's Ailing America? Vaccinations. I want you to look to the left-hand side. There's two words there, vaccination versus inoculation, and see what the definitions of those words are. The first definition of vaccination is introducing an agent for the purpose of producing immunity. Inoculation means introducing an agent for the purpose of causing disease. So then you say to yourself, self, are they producing immunity or are they causing disease? And to answer that question, you go to Title 50 of the U.S. Code. Now, this is not on my website. I just can't put everything on my website. It's just too much. But this is a document that I send out to everybody that gets a consult with me. There's thousands of these, you know, going around the world. And I just hope that everybody that reads them actually takes this into their consciousness, because this is what you have to realize, how evil these people in the District of Criminals, these quote-unquote representatives, the laws that they're passing to take away our rights and to cause us death and suffering, it's beyond the pale. But this is what proves to you what they're actually doing. And I know we have a caller, but let me just go through this very quickly. U.S. Code Title 50, Chapter 32, Section 1520, is about use of human subjects for testing of chemical or biological agents by the Department of Defense. Section 1524 is agreements to provide support to vaccination programs of the Department of Health and Human Services for them to use excess peacetime biological weapons. You see, biological weapons, that's what vaccinations are. And when you read this law and realize that this is what they're actually allowing to happen, and this was written in the late 1960s, that any human being in this country can be used for testing of chemical or biological agents without their permission, and they can use vaccinations to do so. It's really quite chilling. Okay, I hear we have another caller on the line. Hello?
Yes, ma'am, Dr. Carly?
Yes?
My name is April. I live in upstate New York.
Okay, just talk a little louder if you can, because it's hard for me to hear you.
Sure, I'm sorry. My name is April. I live in upstate New York.
Uh-huh.
My husband's a chiropractor. We do not immunize our children.
And I bet they're very healthy.
They are, and we get compliments all the time. Oh,
mm-hmm.
Your children are so bright-eyed. They're so active. Yeah, they all start walking earlier than other kids and things like that.
I know.
We attribute it to the fact that they're not immunized.
Yep.
But my youngest, he is 8 months old, and he caught rubella. And I was reading your website tonight, and I was wondering if there is a possibility that social services could be involved under my nose, and I don't know yet.
What do you mean under
and
your nose?
And if so, if you think that is a possibility, how would I go about finding out?
Well, first of all, let me ask you, how did he catch rubella?
I have no idea. I go to the Y every day to work out, and they go to the daycare at the Y.
So there
the only thing I could think was maybe another child was immunized.
Rubella. Right?
I'm sorry?
They're exposed to all the vaccinees who are oozing rubella.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. So he's been exposed to rubella. So what? I mean, he's a healthy child. I'm sure you eat organically and do all kinds of good things. He gets chiropractic adjustments. What's the big deal? I'm sure he recuperated extremely well from the rubella, and now he's immune for life.
Right, which is a blessing.
Right.
We're all very excited.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we watched it happen, and we just held him, and really he was fine. He did a great job. We did a great job.
Okay, let me just mention, there's one thing that I would... Well, of course, I never give medical advice, and if you listen to my interview by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance, you'll know why, because they came after me because of my delusion of conspiracy. But
right,
one thing
that.
I would do, folks, if I were you, is I would be keeping colloidal silver on hand. Colloidal silver is part of my protocol. It's a wonderful substance, kills 650 bacteria and viruses, including the AIDS virus. And if you have that on hand, I personally take it every day, as do my pets. If you have that on hand and you get any kind of viral problem, you can drink it, you can spray it on the little, you know, lesions that develop as they're pushing the virus out, and that makes the situation much less, you know, problematic. And there's even homeopathic remedies you can take to get rid of it. So what you're saying is so important. You see, these diseases, the function of these diseases, if there was a function, if there's a reason why the Creator allowed for these childhood exanthems, as they're called, which are the childhood diseases that children get that typically result in a skin rash, and that's the body pushing the virus out. The function of these diseases is to get the immune system to learn how to work. They actually have a function, and as long as you're eating well and taking proper care of yourself and doing, you know, good things for your body and not spraying pesticides on yourself and, you know, all those things that I talk about, you're not going to have a problem and you're going to be immune for life. So that's what people have to do, is stop being afraid of these diseases, because they're no big deal. And if you're healthy, I mean, even myself, I come from a very poor family. Luckily for me, my parents weren't able to afford to take me to the doctor very often. I didn't get that many childhood vaccines. But I did come down with all the childhood diseases. And I can remember when I got chickenpox, and it was basically a vacation from school. I stayed home for a few days and scratched a little bit and ate some ice cream. So that's basically how it works. So it's very good that your child went through this, but why are you concerned that the Nazis from Child Protective Services are going to descend on you? Did you make the mistake of taking your child to the pediatrician?
Well, because our first pediatrician, she was her specialty was infectious diseases. Of course, we didn't know that when we picked her, but she kicked us out of her practice. And then
because you wouldn't vaccinate.
Right, we wouldn't vaccinate.
Okay,
then,
so that's an honor. You were kicked out of her practice. Excellent.
And
okay.
Then once he came down with it, the new pediatrician, who she is absolutely wonderful, very holistic, she called the state. The state called my son's elementary school, removed him from school, and then the state called me at home and then called my husband at work. And about a month ago, my daughter fell down the steps and just barely split her head open. And when we came in there, they just glued it back together. We came in, of course, they drilled us about her vaccinations. And I'm a very petite person, so my daughter's extremely petite. She's 2 years old. She weighs like 22 pounds. Mm-hmm. And they started drilling us about that. And, you know, threatened us with social services.
Okay,
so.
Wait a minute. I have to interrupt you here. I am all about the truth. But there's one time where I suggest to you what I would do if I was you in telling a little white lie, and that is when you go into the emergency room with your unvaccinated child. Just like if you live in Nazi Germany and the SS comes knocking on your door and asks you if you're hiding any Jewish people, you don't
say
no. Okay? The same thing when you go into the emergency room, because I have heard this time and time and time again. If you bring an unvaccinated child to the emergency room for anything, and it can even be that they've got some kind of infection, which, of course, is the time when you would never vaccinate a child if you followed the rules. They will inquire of you about the vaccinations, and if you don't have vaccinations in the child, all of a sudden the vaccinations become more important than what the child is even there for. So that was the mistake you made. You told the truth.
Okay.
Okay, but that's okay. I'm all about the truth, but I'm just letting you know in the future, because, you see, they have all kinds of computer programs now that keep track of the vaccinated children, but there's so many problems with the system that if you didn't tell them that your child was not vaccinated, they would never know. And see, what I would do if I was you, and I brought my child to the emergency room, and they asked me if my child was vaccinated, I would say, of course, doctor. We make sure to get all of our vaccinations. We know how important it is. You see, if you answer them like that, they're going to think you're just as stupid as all the rest of the people they deal with, and they're never even going to check into that. So your experience is very important, because this is what I would do, folks, if I was you. So tell me what happened after the minion found out you didn't vaccinate your child.
Well, you know, of course, they offered to come over and give the rest of the family the immunoglobulin. And we rejected that.
Wait a minute. Backtrack. Your child fell down the steps, right?
Oh, no. Okay, that time, yeah, okay, we're there. She's fine. They wrote it down. They said that she's underweight, blah, blah, blah. And they were going to have social services come up and talk to us.
Oh, God.
But the PA signed the release papers before anybody came up there to talk to us. Now, my husband and I, especially my husband, he gets excited, he gets fired up, and he's not going to have anybody telling him because we feel like we're Americans and we still have the opportunity to say no.
Right.
And
just so you know, you are Americans, but you...
we're losing that opportunity.
President Bush is right. It's just a piece of paper. But you see, if enough of us stand up, there's nothing they can do. But you brought up a very important point, and I want to comment on this. This whole idea of these weight and height charts that the pediatricians have. What you said is so important. Basically, this is an average of children's, you know, heights and weights. I don't know how many children they sampled. And, of course, most of America is obese today. But, you see, you are a very petite woman. Obviously, you're going to have a very small child. And so how can they possibly compare your child to everybody else's and decide that your child is underweight based on a stupid chart? Because I'm sure just looking at your child, she oozes health. And obviously, as long as she's healthy, who cares where she is on that chart? But I know how they work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not only that, I'm sitting there nursing her in the ER, why would I starve her if I'm willing to nurse her?
Right. Okay, so
why would,
so
I, you know, why would I neglect her if I'm going
to
take my time?
Did they try to force her to get a tetanus shot for the fall down the stairs?
They offered and we said no.
Okay.
They took it very calmly, but then with the state calling my husband and I and saying, well, we might call back for an interview and things like that, and then I read the story on your website about the young lady who cut her leg on the glass out of the dishwasher.
Right.
And she was from upstate New York also.
Yes.
That
New York
got me a little
is
worried
one of
that
the most
something could be going on,
states,
and I don't know.
Okay, well, let me just say, first of all, a tetanus bacilli is something that's present in dirt.
Right.
Dirt that's had
feces,
animal excrement and things of that nature in it. And to worry about tetanus in a child that fell down some stairs is about as sane as worrying about a child that cuts his leg on a glass out of a dishwasher. So
right.
That's first of all. But what did the state, I mean, did they follow up with their offer to interview you? That was obviously just a scare tactic. What happened with that?
Well, you know what? My doctor, she did the test for it, but she
what
didn't
test?
Call the state, and it's a disease that they're supposed to report. She didn't call the state, and the state got back around to her. And so I think that there's a good possibility that she protected herself and myself.
Wait a minute.
And
what
I don't
test,
know.
What test didn't she report to the state?
That the rubella, that she had a patient come in that had all the signs and symptoms of rubella, and that she sent out a viral swab from the nose. She got mucus from the nose,
mm-hmm,
and sent that out.
Mm-hmm.
And she never reported it. So it came back around through her.
Well, I find it very difficult to believe that if she didn't report it, that it still came back around, because they're so... What's the word? They're just discombobulated, all these different agencies. And I can assure you that most of the times that these outbreaks occur, it's because the children are vaccinated. Most of the little mini epidemics that are reported throughout the country of different of these viral exanthems actually occur in vaccinated children. So what probably happened, whether she reported you or not, basically at some point somebody started asking her hard questions and it was uncovered that you did not vaccinate your child, so that's what caused the issue to develop. And see, that's what people
okay.
have to realize, is that the doctors are nothing more than robots. I mean, they have no power whatsoever. They're totally controlled. The license is a limitation to control you. And I'm sure your pediatrician is now realizing that. Correct?
Yeah. She's very, I don't know. I mean, we just met her. I really like her because she is very holistic, and she gave us a list of herbs, you know, and she was on board with, I don't do antibiotics, and I didn't want to do them, especially on
well,
an eight-month-old.
But I bet you she gives vaccinations to the children that aren't from intelligent parents, right?
Oh, I'm sure. You know, and she's the first doctor that we've ever talked to that said the opposite of what we usually get. Usually my husband and I, we're both educated. I'm a midwife. He's a chiropractor.
Mm-hmm.
We both get treated like we're backwoods hillbillies, and we've never picked up a book.
But
and
in this office, you get treated with respect.
Right. In her office, she actually agreed with the fact that most parents that don't immunize are the ones that have picked up a book, done the research.
Okay. Well, the lesson to be learned here is that in the future, you see, you don't need a pediatrician. What does a pediatrician do? They weigh the child, they measure the child, they give them vaccinations. You did not need to get a culture for your child. You could have just kept the child home from school a few days, given her lots of colloidal silver, did what all the normal things that you always do, and then sent her back to school and said she had a bellyache or whatever. Your big mistake was getting her into the system to begin with. In my
you know,
opinion.
The only reason I did it is because I wanted it documented to protect them when they become adults.
To protect them from
what? Harassing them about these vaccinations.
Well, you see how it didn't protect them, because what you actually did was activate the alphabet agencies.
Right.
But that's okay. I mean, you know, you tried to do the right thing, and this is how people learn. The government is not your friend, and the pediatrician is part of the government, and that's what people have to realize. So let me just close in asking you, what has ended up happening with this? Has the social services minions come to see you?
No, it's been quiet, and
they haven't. And what I would do if I was you is if they come to see you, or if they call you, or if they want to make an appointment, I would just say, my child is better now, and we don't have time for an interview. Thank you very much, and have a nice day. That's what I would do. If you let them into your house, as soon as you let them into your house, basically you are agreeing to allow them to do their thing. And I had one client who they actually went to the refrigerator, and they found only organic food. And, you know, this is a red flag as well. These people are totally insane. It's like your child has been neglected because he doesn't get McDonald's once a week. That's how stupid they are. So you really have to be careful, and I'm so glad you brought this up because this is a lesson for all the listeners. You can take care of these things yourselves, folks. You don't have to go to the white coat. Colloidal silver, take it every day. I take it every day. If you take it every day, then you're not going to hardly get any of these problems, and if you do, they're going to be so minute that it's basically like a sneeze. And do the natural things, you know, vitamin C, garlic. There's all kinds of immune boosters out there. Keep your immune system healthy. Eat organic food, raw as much as possible. These are the things you need to do to keep yourself well. The lesson to be learned is to stay away from the white coats. They are not your friend. And even if they pretend or seem to be so, there's all kinds of little, you know, things that are put into the system that are going to suck you in if you're stepping out of the box.
Yep.
Okay?
Thank you so much, Dr. Carly.
You're very welcome. And please ask your husband to download my documents and put them in his office for his clients to read. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Have a good night. Okay.
You too.
Do we have another caller on the line? I couldn't hear that last message I got from the producer.
Hello, Dr. Carly?
Yes.
Hi, I just wanted to comment that I think it's miraculous to have found you in the miasma of information and misinformation in the world right now, and I just appreciate you more than I could ever express to you.
Thank you.
I just wanted you to please perhaps make it clear for me what to do if I have children injured and I need to take them, for example, for stitches, you know, just something emergency to an emergency room. I have a son who was born at home. He's never even seen a doctor.
Wow, he must be really healthy.
They both are. I have a daughter who's born at home and has been to a dentist. So my question is, we live out in a national park very remote area. My son received a couple of stitches on his head once from a neighbor, just a very minor thing that, you know, we probably could have taped it, but he fell and just cut his head a little bit. And the neighbors had enough experience to thought, you know, I'll put a few stitches in, and it's just perfect. That was a couple of years ago. But it's really got me thinking now, listening to your conversation you just had with this lady, that I really don't know what to do. I don't have any relationship with, say, an alternative practitioner of any kind. I wouldn't know any kind of protocol to protect my children. And what this leads me to now is I'd like you to comment on this after you answer that question. And I think it's very, very vital to hear you and for you to make this clear. And that is, we're in this paradox where, as a parent, I need the cloak of anonymity. I need to lie through my teeth to protect my own children. At the same time, I want to speak out. I want to get the word out. I want to stand for the truth. There's such an incredibly painful paradox there where I want to be heard talking about this because I could become a victim. My children could become a victim. So how, I mean, it's like we need to rally a bunch of people who don't have children who can be damaged if they are identified.
Okay, I have to interrupt you on that point. If you have children, you need to rally even more. Because if you do nothing, your children are going to be slaves on the plantation. I can't even imagine. Watch the movie Thunderdome, and you will see where we are going, or Waterworld, okay?
Dr. Carly, I've seen the ultimate, and I see it coming. And I'm pretty much by myself in my circle of influence. I see the absolute horror that is on its way marching right now. I really see the big picture, so I appreciate that. My challenge is how it just seems to be a contradiction for me when to fight and when to lie through my teeth and say, yes, we have all our shots. I mean, isn't that the moment of victory to say, you know, it's just so hard to know when if I'm going to get shot at, I run, and if I can stand up. I hope I'm making it clear that the paradox.
No, you're making it very clear. And let me just tell you, all I can do is tell you what I would do if I was you. And first of all, I have to say that I didn't follow my own advice. That's the reason that I lost my only child, that they went after my medical license, that they've tried to kill me a number of times. So I'm not purporting for anybody to do what I do, because there is a price that you pay. But I will tell you that I would not change anything. Eventually, someday, my son will come back to me. I've put a message to him on my website. He's 11 years old now, and my spirit told me that he's going to learn how to Google. And when he learns how to Google, he's going to find mom, and he's going to have some hard questions to ask. So what I would tell you is the time to stand up is not when your children are in the hands of the enemy. When you are in the emergency room, and that is the only time that I would ever go to a white coat is if there's trauma. That's when you have to go to the emergency room. That is not the time to stand up. That is the time for you to smile and bat your eyelashes and say, of course, doctor, my children have received all their vaccinations. We want to do the best for our children. That is not the time
to stand
up.
So you don't think it's dangerous enough at this point in time that if they're not tracking us down? I mean, I'm
okay,
I'm
well,
concerned.
First of all, let me just
no,
say, as
I
already explained to you, listen to me, please. Because I know from which I speak. I've been doing this 10 years, and I've talked to thousands of people, and I know what's going on out there. If the computers work and they find out that you don't get vaccinated, see, first of all, you have to realize, if you bat your eyelashes and say that your children have all their vaccinations, why are they going to bother to check? These minions that work in the hospital, they don't have time to do anything. Okay, basically, it's in and out. They want to get rid of you. So as long as you appear to be stupid enough to go along with everything they say, and once again, of course, after they make sure you've gotten all the vaccinations and they suture up the child's head or whatever, they're going to give you lots of prescriptions for antibiotics and stuff. And you take them and you say, thank you, doctor. And then you may want to fill them just to make it look like you're, you know, getting the antibiotics. You fill them and you throw them in the garbage. Please don't flush them down your toilet. Our water's polluted enough. Okay, that's what I would do if I was you. I would take lots of colloidal silver. I would spray colloidal silver on the wound. That's what I would do.
Okay.
I would not worry about them checking you out. Go ahead.
Okay, I could win awards in the emergency room. Like, trust me, I can bat those eyelashes. Now, on the other end of the equation, should I not be too afraid that in my networking with people, if I add links to my own website, if I really do my work while my children are healthy and safe at home, are they going to come knocking on my door? I guess that's my concern.
Okay, I get this. Okay. This is a question that really. This hits me really hard, because basically you're admitting that you're already a slave. Now, of course, there is a certain amount of risk in standing up. And all I can tell you is that there are so many people out there waking up and putting links to websites such as mine on theirs. Where do you think you're going to fall in the food chain? Okay, by the time they get to you, there's going to be thousands of others who are actually on the front lines, standing up for the truth in all areas, 9/11, the fake war, you name it, okay? So you're going to be way down on the food chain. So what I would suggest that you do is get rid of the fear, because this is what's keeping people on the couch, is this fear. I've had so many people that have called me up with wonderful results of their protocols, and I've asked them to come on the air to give testimonials. I have hundreds and hundreds of written testimonials, but I'm not going to waste time putting those on my website, because people will say, well, you could have made it up. So I ask people to call in and give their personal testimonial, even if they don't want to give their last name. You would not believe the excuses I get. The best one I got recently was a woman that had very bad polyps, which were obviously cancer, on her vocal cords, a heavy smoker who, went through my protocol. She went back for her follow-up laryngoscope. The doctor said the polyps are gone. And she called me all excited, and I said, would you please come on my show and tell the listeners what happened? And she said to me, no, I can't do that because I don't believe the polyps were ever there. So you see, people are so filled with fear. They think their phone's going to be tapped. Yes, folks, your phone is tapped. Your emails are being read. Your television is able to watch you. There's all kinds of stuff going on. If you're going to do nothing because of that, then we've already lost. We are in a slave state. We're heading more and more into it. If you're going to be filled with fear and do nothing, then we're going to manifest what they want us to be afraid of. But you see, I'm living proof. They tried to squash me in so many ways, and guess what? I am known all over the world. I am now being heard in China. I just got emails from a group in China, expatriates that moved to China. Don't ask me why they would leave the United States to go to China. That seems kind of strange. But all over the world, people are hearing this radio show, they're reading my website, they're getting consults. And guess what? I'm getting stronger all the time. I have no fear. That is the greatest gift that I have received by what I've done, is losing all the fear. This is a spiritual war. It's good versus evil. And guess what happens when you stand up to evil? It runs the other way. I want to just tell you one of my best experiences that I had in this regard. Before I lost my son, I was in Kmart one time, but when I lived in Long Island, shopping for toilet tissue and things of that nature. And two men were following me. It was obviously that they were men in black. You know, they had the pinstripe suits and the mirrored sunglasses. And I knew that they had something very bad in mind. And so I just said a little prayer to myself, and I said, what am I going to do? And the answer came immediately, confront them. So I spun around, I looked him right in the mirrored sunglasses, and I said, what are you boys shopping for today? And they ran out of that store so fast that, you know, it was like little sparks coming out of their shoes. You see, they're not used to people standing up to them, so don't be afraid. As I said, when you're in the belly of the beast, when you are in their emergency room, that is the time that you have to lick their boots, because you need the services that you came to get, and you want to escape with your children unharmed. Other than that, you must speak the truth, because silence is consent. And if you do nothing, your children are going to inherit a world God only knows how bad it's going to be. So that's my answer to the question.
Dr. Carley, thank you. Can I share with you very quickly and succinctly what you've inspired me to do?
Yes.
Well, the kids and I have been studying the lives of the saints, the early church, the lives of the saints, and I think we're on the right track, because the whole essence of how they lived, and why they died, and how they died is exactly what I would need as a form to try and teach, by their example, teach my kids and myself how to fight this battle, because it is a spiritual and moral battle. And I appreciate you. Again, I appreciate you. I applaud you. And I will get your link up as soon as I can. thank you so much, and God bless you.
Okay, thank you. And all you have to do is speak the truth. You see, that's all you have to do. Speak the truth. Don't ever stop speaking the truth unless you go in the emergency room. That's the one little disclaimer I'll make. Okay. Well, this has been excellent. I really appreciate those calls, because, see, folks, now you're seeing what we're dealing with. But once again, do not be afraid. When you lose the fear, I can't tell you the freedom. I have the most amazing life, the freedom I have. I have absolutely no fear. It's a beautiful thing. And they don't even bother me anymore, because they know Dr. Carly's not going to shut up. There's nothing we can do. They've tried to poison me. They've tried to run me off the road. And it doesn't work. So apparently, somebody up there is watching over me. And that's what's even going to make these people realize who they're working for. You see, it's going to be funny how it all works out. Okay, so let's get back to the diagrams. We're talking about the third vaccine diagram. I just read to you the definition of inoculations and vaccinations. And through informing you about Title 50, Chapter 32, Section 1520 and 1524, of the U.S. Code, you now realize that they're inoculating you with disease. And they're using excess peacetime biological warfare agents to experiment on you. Now, they're not just doing it with vaccinations. They're doing it in other ways, especially chemtrails. And if you don't know what chemtrails are, just go outside when it's daylight, look up in the sky, and on almost every day, you're going to see all kinds of strange lines in the sky, things that are not clouds that you never saw back, you know, many moons ago. They've been doing it for about 10 years now. Sometimes you'll actually see tic-tac-toe boards. These are things that are being sprayed on us. This is population reduction, folks. The Rockefellers and other individuals, very evil people that are in control of the world, have decided that the population is too big, and so they're decreasing the population. Now, they can't do it by just shooting everybody. Of course, their wars are helping with the population reduction. But the main way that they're doing it is with inoculations, with other poisons that they're giving us, especially pharmaceutical drugs, and with chemtrails and things of that nature. So that's what you have to realize, is that they are not helping us. They are hurting us. Okay, we have another caller. Hello.
Hello, Dr. Carly?
Yes.
Yes, my name is Maureen. I live in South Carolina.
Hello.
I'm raising my 10-year-old grandson and trying to recover him from autism. We have a Dan doctor. I've listened to you for the last few weeks.
Uh-huh.
And my confusion lies with we had the test done in Paris. He has high levels of mercury. We've done some chelation, and we stopped for a while. My question is, how, if you're saying that the mercury or thimerosal does not cause autism, how do we deal with autism if we don't eliminate the mercury? How am I going to help him is my question, basically.
Okay, and I'll...
I understand about the viruses, too. I get that, too. But for me, number one is getting the mercury and all the lead out.
Okay, well, that's fine. And I teach people how to do that as well. I do not use chelation. Chelation is very dangerous. I know of one individual that went into renal failure from doing chelation. It's very tough on the kidneys. Okay? Let me tell you a little bit about the Dan doctor. And if this is not true, I invite Dr. William Shaw of the Great Plains Laboratory to sue me. I went to Florida in 1999 to give a lecture after a number of my clients contacted him and told them the amazing results they had with their children on my protocol. And this was, 8 years ago. My protocol has come, lightning years since then. He invited me to come to this conference and speak about what I do. He heard me tell some people that his lab tests were totally unnecessary. You see, Dr. Shaw makes millions of dollars by taking the parents of autistic children and having them buy all these lab tests, which are totally irrelevant. The one lab test he never orders is anti-myelin and anti-neuronal filament antibodies. Of course, if you test these children for anything, you are going to find that they are abnormal. This does not explain why they're autistic. You see? And the reason they have all these abnormalities of their metabolism is because their body is damaged in many ways from the inoculations. And yes, they have high mercury and lead levels. Everybody has high mercury and lead levels from the vaccinations, from the water, et cetera, et cetera. It has nothing to do with autism. What Dr. Shaw
doesn't
did...
The mercury doesn't add to the demyelin.
No, it does
saying.
Not.
It
the mercury is a toxic poison. Okay, it should not be in fillings in the mouth. It should not be in vaccinations. It does not cause autism. Autism is a demyelinating disease. But I want to continue with what Dr. Shaw did. This is how the DAN protocol was developed. Because I explained my protocol, it is the last diagram on my website, which we'll get to next week. That is the good news, how I reverse all of these problems, and it's the big picture of my protocol. The big picture in everybody is detoxification, uncorrupting the immune system, alkalinization, and different therapies that can be done to repair the damage. Now, it has to be individualized for each person based on their history. When I gave my talk in front of Dr. Shaw, now this is after he actually had security guards try to eject me because he knew what I was going to say, because he had heard me say this to some families, the fact that the lab tests are unnecessary. What he did was he took my protocol and he corrupted it. He took out the homeopathy because, of course, once you deal with the viruses, that's what proves there's no such thing as a safe vaccine. He substituted chelation for the homeopathic detoxification because I teach people how to detox heavy metals too. Heavy metals are bad. They don't cause autism. He substituted antifungal medication for homeopathic ways to deal with this. And the most disgusting thing I heard recently is that he's actually now got DAN psychiatrists to write psychiatric prescriptions for these children. So that's how corrupt he's gotten. So this is what you have to realize. There's a quid pro quo with all these DAN doctors. They can be a DAN doctor if they order Dr. Shaw's tests. He will put them on a list. He will deem them DAN doctors. They will do certain things for your children that may improve them slightly, but they'll never get rid of their problem. And the deal is that they have to order all Dr. Shaw's expensive tests. That's
how that works. Well, for example, Dr. Shaw, there are a number of DAN doctors that don't necessarily follow Dr. Shaw, and there are a number of children who've been chelated, and I know you said it's dangerous, in certain ways with DMSA or whatever, who are now recovered.
Okay. I totally disagree with that.
I mean, I know personally some families that have. I know some people that just got rid of the viruses. I mean, it's very individual, but what I'm saying is not all.
Okay. Autism is from demyelination. Now, if there's some DAN doctors that don't follow Dr. Shaw, then that's like a shoot-off group. I don't know anything about that. If they're not dealing with the viruses, these children have not recovered. If the viruses have not been detoxed, they are going to have a problem down the line. Whether they develop cancer, whether they continue with their food allergies, their asthma, their seizures, whatever the case may be. That's the way it is. You cannot recover from autism by just chelating the metal.
The mercury can be chelated out in natural ways. Is that what you're saying in a safe manner?
Yes. I use homeopathy. There's also other herbal products that you can use, like cilantro, but you have to be careful because if the cilantro is not grown in soil that has no mercury, it actually picks up the mercury. So my point is that autism is a demyelinating disease, period. That's what causes autism. Will the children get better when the heavy metals are taken out of them? Of course. Will they get better when the fungus is taken out of them? Of course. Will they be cured of their autism? No. No, they will not. They will still have anti-myelin antibodies in their body, and they will never get to the point that they could have gotten had they gotten rid of the problem, the viruses that cause the demyelination. And there is so much evidence for that. The thousands of people that I've helped over the last 10 years, I suggest you go to thinktwice.com and get the book Vaccination, Social Violence, and Criminality by Dr. Harris Coulter. He gives all the evidence of this, the post-encephalitic syndrome, which is caused by the viruses, which can actually change their personality and make them criminals and violent.
Getting rid of the viruses is foremost, is what you're saying.
It's all important. As I said, in the big picture of my protocol, I teach people, when I take a history, I ask about viruses, I ask about heavy metals, I ask about parasites, I ask about pesticides,
right.
I ask about antibiotics and yeast, I ask about radiation, I ask about all these things. It is the viruses being injected into you that corrupts the immune system. And I have had a $10,000 reward on my website for over a year for any vaccine promoter to come on this show and prove me wrong. And they won't do it because they can't. Because I have so much documentation that exactly what I described is corrupt, is correct. The inoculations by being injected into the body bypass the secretory IgA in the upper respiratory and GI tracts. Therefore, the viruses cannot be pushed out of the body. They stay in the body forever. Forever. They mutate. And as your body is more acidic and more toxic, they actually become even more dangerous. They're able to morph into other organisms. And this is another thing. Okay, it's not a matter of agreeing with me. This has been proven. This has been known for 100 years. Look up Dr. Antoine Bechamp, B-E-C-H-A-M-P. Do a Google search on him. Read about him.
Okay.
100 years ago, he proved that it's not the bug that's the danger. It's the toxic body. Because if your body is toxic, it is going to believe that it has to decompose you. And so it's actually going to morph those bugs that are in you into more dangerous bugs because it's killing you, because it thinks you're dying. So this is not a matter of belief. I know from what I speak. I know from what I speak from 10 years of research, things I never learned in medical school, and the results of my protocol. There is no one that has not gotten better on my protocol. How much better they get depends on the four things I mentioned earlier. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Okay, and what I would suggest to you is that you go to your Dan doctor and ask the Dan doctor, why aren't you dealing with the viruses? Ask them to take anti-myelin antibodies and anti-neuronal filament antibody tests.
Actually, we tried Valtrex. It didn't go well.
It didn't go well. Well, there you go. Because they know that they're going to lose their license if they address this issue. So as they're taking thousands of...
No, it didn't go well with my grandson. He had some problems with it.
What do you mean it didn't go well with your grandson?
Well, we tried Valtrex, okay, instead of...
Wait, I'm asking about the lab test for anti-myelin antibodies. Did you ask for this test to be done?
Well, I just assume that he has that problem anyway from...
Did you ask the Dan doctor to do anti-myelin antibody tests on your child?
No.
Okay.
I did not.
That's what I tell you. If I was you, that's what I would do. I would download the documents on my website. I would bring them to the Dan doctor, and I would say, Dan doctor, what are you doing about the viruses that are causing demyelination? Let him tell you that your child does not have demyelination. All he has to do is go to Harrison's Principles of the Internal Medicine, a 10th edition, page 2096, and read about subacute sclerosing panencephalitis, which is autism, and it's from demyelination.
Okay.
Okay, tell him to come on my show and prove me wrong. He'll get $10,000, okay?
It's a thing. Well, but I sure will.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're very
Thank
welcome.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. And I love these calls. This is, like, so amazing. These Dan doctors are like a virus themselves. They're spreading everywhere. And the most outrageous thing I heard a couple of months ago is that there's now some pediatricians that are Dan doctors. So they've got half their practice where they're giving the inoculations and creating the disease. And then once you get the autism, then you switch over to the Dan doctor part of their practice and you get chelated. I mean, it's straight from hell. I have no patience with these people. It's very evil because they know exactly what's going on. I guarantee you every one of these Dan doctors knows about my work. But you see, they're afraid. Just like the caller that called in earlier, you know, she's afraid to speak out too much. If the Dan doctors address the viruses, they will lose their license because the viruses being detoxed and healing the problem is what proves there is no such thing as a safe vaccine. Now, I don't have a license. They took away my license in 2003 because of my delusion of conspiracy. And if you listen to the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance interview on my website, you will hear me talk about how I lost my license because, see, I never got any complaints from any patients, even when I was a surgeon. So they had to use my TV show against me. And they decided, even though I had 10 psychiatrists and psychologists that said I was fine, I did the Rorschach and the MMPI and all these different tests, but they found one whore, a foreign medical graduate by the name of Dr. Zev Labens from France, to come here and decide that I had a delusion of conspiracy. And they wanted me to undergo psychiatric drugging, institutionalization, and or electroshock therapy to keep my license to kill. So I told them they can have their license. I'm a teacher now. And that's what I'm trying to make the white coats realize, is that you don't need a license. A license is a limitation. I am a teacher now. I teach you what I would do if I was you. That's all I do. I do not practice medicine. I do not practice anything. I teach you what I have learned over the last 10 years, and, of course, none of it was learned in medical school. And if these doctors would get a backbone and actually care enough about their patients to do the right thing, they would join with me. But instead, they're afraid, and they'll be Dan doctors, and they figure, well, we'll be doing a little bit of good. And, yes, of course, any toxins that you get out of these children is going to help them a little bit. But you have to get rid of the cause of the problem. You have to go to the root of the tree of disease, and that is the viruses. So let me continue on. Luckily, we don't have a show after this tonight, so I can go a little bit over. I really want to get through this diagram on vaccinations tonight, but I do want to say I really appreciate all those calls because this has brought out some extremely important points that all of the listeners have to know about. Okay, take a breath. Okay, getting back to the third diagram. So we have established that we're being inoculated with disease. And by the way, I do suggest that you listen to my interview with Dr. Deagle back in September. You will find that on the archives. And Dr. Deagle is another ex-white coat who has seen the light, and he and I do shows together on his radio station also on a regular basis. We just did a show today. And what he talks about is that there's five types of vaccines. Now we're going to bring it up to the conspiratorial level, and then I'm going to describe how the vaccines damage you. We have the conventional vaccines, the ones who allege that they protect you from disease by making yourself immune. And you're going to learn from my explanation of the diagram that that is a fraud in itself. We have DNA vaccines. DNA vaccines where they inject you with plasmids of DNA. They are altering our very genetic structure, folks. This is going to lead to the extinction of humanity if we allow it to continue. We have psychoneurotropic vaccinations, which block neural pathways. And I have probably 50 pages of references of articles of vaccines that they're developing to deal with alcoholism and nicotine and cocaine addiction, and you name it. If they don't want you to, you know, have an addiction, they're going to take the substance and inject it into your body. That's their answer to dealing with the problem. Rather than ask you, why do you need this Novocaine for your soul? Because, you see, anyone that has an addiction, it's a Novocaine for their soul. There's something in their life that's very spiritually or emotionally or psychologically troubling to them, and they're trying to numb the pain. What you do to deal with an addiction is to find out what the pain is and how to get rid of the pain. You don't inoculate them with their substance that they've decided to numb themselves with. That is totally insane. Okay, another type of vaccine we have is the GMO food vaccines, the genetically modified foods such as rice, potatoes, and bananas, where they're putting vaccinations in food. And the last type they have is the bioweapons, the BioShield vaccines. And, of course, this is how they're taking out the soldiers. They are actually taking out the military, folks. This is quite obvious. There are more soldiers dying from their vaccines than are even dying from gunfire. Because, you see, eventually the people are going to wake up, and they're going to say, soldiers, you took an oath to protect and serve. We realize that we have a bunch of traitors down there in Washington, and we want you to do something about it. And the soldiers are going to say, we're sorry, we can't help you. We're too sick. As a matter of fact, one of the latest little things that they've pulled down there in the District of Criminals is that they've decided to make it where a soldier diagnosed with a psychological issue cannot have a weapon. Isn't that amazing? So now they're going to be diagnosing all the soldiers with post-traumatic stress disorder. Once they're diagnosed with that problem, they can't have a weapon. And if they can't have a weapon, then they can't help us. when the emperor finally takes off his clothes and shows us exactly what's really going on. But I, sidebar, let me get back to the diagram. Okay. So if you go to the right side of the diagram, these are the ingredients of the regular vaccinations. We have foreign DNA. Okay, you have to realize the immune system does not like things other than itself in your body. Anything that comes into your body that's not self, your immune system's job is to develop antibodies against it. The antibodies are supposed to be a flag for the T cells, which are the little Pac-Man cells that are supposed to go up and gobble up bacteria, viruses, and cancer cells. That's the flag that's put up for them to go into action. And as I'm going to describe in a few minutes, that whole system is totally corrupted by the inoculation of diseases. So if they have organisms, as they always do in the vaccines, of course, if they have live organisms in the vaccines, excuse me, such as the measles vaccine, they're injecting you with the disease. And I always tell people to ask your white coat, if mosquitoes are bad and you're telling me get rid of the standing water, we don't want to breed mosquitoes because they're going to inject us and they're going to cause encephalitis. As a matter of fact, there was just an article in my local paper about a week ago. There's some cases of some new encephalitis called LaCrosse encephalitis that developed someplace. And, of course, you know, where are all these emerging diseases coming from? I will tell you where they're coming from. The 409 biowarfare laboratories in this country, that's more than 8 per state. But if mosquitoes are bad, and if we don't want the mosquitoes to inject us with viruses, then how come we can take those viruses, stick them in a bottle, with a little formaldehyde, aluminum, mercury, you know, you name the poison. You go right on the CDC's own website and find out all the ingredients of vaccines. How come that becomes a good thing once you put it in a bottle and inject it with a syringe? Now, of course, the mosquito's proboscis is much smaller than that hypodermic, so that's a hard question that will send your pediatrician to the bathroom. If the organisms are dead, and they call them attenuated. And the way they attenuate them is by passing them through many, many culture materials. Now, first of all, we have no way of knowing that they're dead because, of course, they don't check every drop of vaccine that they produce. And if they are attenuated by going through all these different tissue cultures, what you have to realize is that the tissue cultures themselves, and there's at least 13 vaccines now that are made out of aborted fetuses. And this is evil. This is cannibalism. What's the difference between eating a dead baby or having it injected into your body? Because what you have to realize is there's no way to separate the tissue used to culture the virus or bacteria from the virus or bacteria. When they're creating their witch's brew called vaccines, all this stuff is still in there. So there's no way to separate it, and I'm going to describe how that is a main factor in causing autoimmune disease. Okay, and let me also add that if the viruses are allegedly dead, what do they put in the vaccine to keep it preserved? They put formaldehyde. Formaldehyde is used to pickle dead people. It's a carcinogen. So either they're injecting you with a live virus, or they're giving you an allegedly dead one that's got formaldehyde, which is a carcinogen in itself. We also have aluminum hydroxide in vaccines. Aluminum hydroxide is put in as an adjuvant. An adjuvant is something put in to make the B cells, which make antibodies, go into the hyperactive mode, because that's their definition of immunity, is having antibodies produced against these bugs. Now, unfortunately, aluminum also causes Alzheimer's disease. So that if they're injecting you with all these metals, these things do cause dementia. And that's what mercury is more involved with. It does actually cause behavioral changes and dementia and things of that nature. As I said to the caller that just called, it does not cause autism. But it's all bad. The stuff is all bad. So the aluminum is there to create a hyperactive immune response in your body. And I have a paper from Scandinavia where they injected only adjuvant into laboratory animals and actually created B-cell tumors, cancers, just from the adjuvant alone. Because, you know, the system is not made just to make B-cells go crazy and develop all these antibodies. We also have thimerosal, which is mercury. next to plutonium, the most toxic poison that you could possibly be exposed to. And they put mercury in there as a preservative, which is so ridiculous because all they have to do to get rid of the mercury is put the vaccines in single-dose vials. They don't have to have, you know, 10, 15 doses in one vial and put the mercury in there as a preservative. And I am sure that the reason they did this, because they knew that the autism, ADD, learning disabilities, et cetera, Rett syndrome, everything you can imagine, all these different post-encephalitic syndromes were going to become a little obvious down the line. Of course, the parents of the autistic children are the most vocal group in this country. Once they all get my information, they will stop this vaccination holocaust. I know that. Unfortunately, there's so many disinforming autism groups out there telling them it's all about the mercury, because what they want you to believe is that if they take the mercury out, the vaccines will be safe. A bigger lie has never been told. And we have the October edition, 2007, of Townsend Letter, which used to be an excellent journal about alternative medicine. And on page 84, we have an article by Gary Null, Vaccination and Updated Analysis of the Health Risks, Part 1. I'm going to be putting some information about Gary Null on my website very shortly. You need to know what Gary Null is really about. But he just exposed himself as the fraud that he has become on page 89 of this article, and I quote, where he says, a study published in 2006 provides the first epidemiological evidence that the number of neurodevelopmental disorders has decreased in the U.S. as thimerosal was removed from vaccines. Now, first of all, these studies are frauds to begin with. Who funded the studies? What kind of statistics did they use to twist and spin the data, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? But now Gary Null has actually been the mouthpiece. I've been talking for years how this was going to happen. They were going to say they took the mercury out and the autism rate is decreasing. The autism rate is not decreasing, folks. They may start inventing new names for it so that they can dilute the obvious vaccine-induced disease status. But the vaccines are causing the diseases based on the way they're injected into the body. So we now have Gary Null as the first person that I've found that's telling you the mercury's out, everything's fine. A bigger lie has never been told. Okay. We also have lipids. And actually, a lot of amazing things happen to me as I peruse my library and open up certain books. And one day I opened up my medical dictionary and I found this term lipovaccine. Now, a lipovaccine is a vaccine that has lipid substances within it, and the lipids are put in there to delay introduction of the antigen. Now, you have to ask yourself, why would they want to delay introduction of the antigen? And the antigen is just the protein that they're injecting into you that they want you to develop an immune response to. Why would they want to delay the introduction? They're giving you the vaccine. I mean, don't they want you to make antibodies from day one? The reason is because these vaccines are going to do some very bad things intentionally. And if they didn't delay the introduction of the antigen to your body by putting it in the middle of these lipid molecules, then you would say to yourself, self, I had a vaccine, and now a week, a month, a year, whatever amount of time later, now I have all these different problems. The more that they can delay it, then you're not going to put two and two together and realize the temporal relationship of the assault with your disease. So that was an amazing thing I found in my medical dictionary, and I did not learn that in medical school either, that they were doing things of that nature. We have other contaminants that I list in my diagram. We have oncogenic monkey viruses, such as SV40, simian virus 40, which is a virus in monkey kidneys being used to make the polio vaccine. This was present in polio vaccines for 15 years. People getting lung cancer, lymphoma, all kinds of other things. The powers that be knew about it, and they kept on giving the vaccines anyways. We have cancer-causing enzymes, especially in the hepatitis B vaccine. We have Mycoplasma incognitus. Mycoplasma is it's not a bacteria, it's not a virus. It's a particular organism that doesn't have a cell wall. I don't have time to get into the micro details of that, but suffice it to say that because it doesn't have a cell wall, it can go any place in your body, and it can cause all different kinds of diseases. And as a matter of fact, I have a patent for mycoplasma, A mad scientist by the name of Dr. Xinqing Lo actually patented Mycoplasma incognitus. This is a biological warfare agent that was created in a laboratory. This is the main organism that causes Gulf War plague. Now, Gulf War syndrome includes the aspartame they're feeding the soldiers, the depleted uranium, pyridostigmine, many other assaults that they're doing to the soldiers. But the actual contagious disease that they have is from Mycoplasma, and this is something they're putting in the soldiers' vaccines. Okay, so that's what a vaccine is, folks. It's a witch's brew. You know, eye of newt, hair of toad, whatever you want to say. You know, this is basically a bunch of organisms, pus, dead parts of animals and aborted fetuses, chemicals. They take it, they put it in a stew, they bottle it up, and they call it a vaccine. And it really cracks me up. Once in a while, you'll hear about a contaminated vaccine. You know, there'll be a vaccine that's created, and they find that it's got some other organism in it. And I always laugh, and I say, well, then, I guess they're vaccinating you against some other disease. You're getting a freebie. What's the problem with some other organism being in a vaccine? How can you have a sterile vaccine? A vaccine is made of germs. So by definition, it can't be sterile. So as the doctor is taking out the bottle and taking off that little aluminum cap and taking the alcohol swab and swabbing off that rubber stopper, you know, to put the needle in and get out the vaccine, you should ask her not to do that, because if there's any germs on the rubber stopper, then you're getting a free vaccine against those germs. You know, start saying some of these things to the white coats and watch how their eyes just, you know, start to go around in their head and they do a Linda Blair on you. Okay, so that's what's in a vaccine. Now, if you look on the diagram, we have the forks going two different ways. Because what happens with the vaccines is they cause the B cells to go crazy. As I said, the B cells are what makes antibody, and the antibody against you is what causes all autoimmune disease. And the antibody production is stimulated by the adjuvant. Now, the immune system, having two poles, the antibody part of the pole and the T-cell part of the pole, and the T-cells, there's many kinds of T-cells. I'm not going to get into details because it gets too complicated. Just think of the T-cells as the little Pac-Man cells that are supposed to go along and gobble up the bacteria, the viruses, the cancer cells, the fungi, whatever. That's their job. Now, the way the T-cells get activated and get told to go gobble something up is because it's coated with antibody. That's what alerts the T cell to go and do its job. Unfortunately, when the immune system is so stimulated in the one side, in the B cell side of the system, the T cell side can't do its job. It's basically like, I can't work, I'm too tired. You know, you're taking all my energy to make antibodies. So what happens is you've got all these antibodies going around in the body, and the T cells can't function. So let's go to the left-hand side of the diagram. When the T cells can't function, then the cancer cells, which we all have, and I always try to tell people, the people that tell me their cancer's in remission or whatever, there's no such thing. Everybody listening to me right now has cancer. Because of the toxins in our environment and everything that's going on, we all make cancer cells. That's not a problem. If your immune system works, if the T cell part of your immune system works, your immune system will kill the cancer cells. When the immune system doesn't kill the cancer cells, that's when you make a tumor. And that's when the white coats tell you you have a tumor. And what do the white coats do? They say, well, we're going to radiate you. Radiation causes cancer. They're going to give you chemo. Chemo causes cancer. And I could talk for days just on these subjects alone, but I'm just trying to make you realize that the way to get rid of a cancer is not to give other things that also cause cancer down the line, even if they do temporarily melt the tumor. Down the line, you're going to get a cancer from those things. And that's why the white coats only give 5-year cure rates for cancer, because they know that you're going to get a cancer likely from the radiation or the chemo after 5 years, because they've done their studies and that's the one thing they figured out. So what you need to do to get rid of cancer is to detoxify the poisons that are in you, to uncorrupt the immune system, to alkalinize yourself, And, you know, the protocol for cancer patients is the same big picture as for the autoimmune disease. It's just individualized for each person based on their history. So that's what the cause of cancer is, folks. That's the cause of all cancer. All cancer has the same cause. I don't care if it's pancreatic, breast cancer, lymphoma, whatever it is, it's all from the same corruption in the immune system. Now, when the T cells are suppressed, of course, we also have the inability to kill organisms. And the organisms, not just in the vaccines, of course, which are injected directly into your body, but if you're exposed to Cousin Johnny out in the world and he's sneezing on you, coughing on you, whatever the case may be, your T cells are sleeping because your B cells are hyperactive and making all this antibody, and so you can't get rid of the infection. So you go to the white coats and they give you antibiotics. Or if you're infected with fungus, they'll give you antifungals. And what do these drugs do? They create antibiotic and antifungal resistant organisms. And then your immune system breaks down further. So that's what's happening on the T cell side of the equation. And let me just say that there's homeopathic remedies to get rid of all of these things. The bacteria, the viruses, the fungi. I already mentioned colloidal silver. This is something that everybody that's listening to me, as far as I'm concerned, should have. There's many different types available. You can find it in your health food store. But I also suggest you get yourself a colloidal silver generator because the fatal drugs allowed, FDA, is trying to put colloidal silver manufacturers out of business because this stuff is so good. You see, you don't need any of those drugs if you know about colloidal silver. So if you have your own generator, then you can make your own, and then you don't have to worry about the FDA trying to put them out of business. Now, on the right-hand side of the diagram, this is where the autoimmune aspect of the situation is. And as I said, when you're getting injected with the viruses, bacteria, etc., you're also getting injected with the tissues that these bugs are cultured on. Now, it's not just the tissues. Let me just say that actually the measles virus, as it turns out, has proteins in it that are very similar to the myelin sheath of the nerves. Myelin is to the nerves what a plastic coating is to the electrical cord. It's an insulator. It allows conduction to go through the nerve normally. When you start to get anti-myelin antibodies produced and they attack the myelin sheath, they produce little holes in the myelin sheath, just like if you slammed your electrical cord in the door, and the impulses cannot be conducted normally. And that's the cause of all these neurological vaccine-induced diseases. It's the antibody attack on the myelin. Now, because the measles virus is very similar to myelin basic protein, when you develop an antibody against the measles virus, you can actually have what they call molecular mimicry, where that antibody will actually attack the myelin sheath because the antibody against the measles is so similar to the myelin basic protein. So that case is kind of unusual in itself, and that's a molecular mimicry situation. And if you want to learn more about that, I suggest that you read the most two important documents on my website at drcarly.com, is Inoculations, the True Weapons of Mass Destruction, where I go into great detail explaining what I'm talking about right now, and my response to the CDC, where I go into the medical books themselves and describe how they're actually talking about these demyelinating diseases, but what they've done is changed the name. Autism is called subacute sclerosing panencephalitis in the medical books. If you read the description, you will see that it is autism. Now, the way they get around it, as a matter of fact, I had to laugh. I got a copy of Dr. Paul Offit's book. It's called Vaccinated, One Man's Quest to Defeat the World's Deadliest Diseases. Dr. Paul Offit is one of the leading vaccine minions now. He's a professor at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, developed the rotavirus vaccine, so obviously he has a major conflict of interest with promoting vaccinations. But on page 45 of his book, he talks about subacute sclerosing panencephalitis. He only has like three sentences about it, and how it occurs after measles infection. Of course, the major way you get a measles infection today is by getting inoculated with it. But the key thing that he says is that no child has ever survived subacute sclerosing panencephalitis. Now, this book, which was just published in 2007, you see, Dr. Offit knows all about me. I've emailed him. I've asked him to be a guest on this show. I've sent him my documents. And so this is his way of getting around my calling autism, subacute sclerosing, pain, encephalitis, is by saying that no child has ever survived it. That's the best he could come up with, folks. Obviously, there's thousands, if not millions, of children that have survived it because they are the children today that are flapping their hands and have no eye contact, et cetera, et cetera. It is subacute sclerosing pain encephalitis. Okay. So we have that molecular mimicry being a special situation being involved with the measles virus. But in general, the main thing that causes the autoimmune reaction is the tissue culture that the virus is cultured on. And I want to thank Dr. Patricia Jordan, who is to pets what I am to people. I strongly encourage you to go to the archives on BBS Radio and listen to my two interviews with her in May, where she talks about all these diseases in pets being caused from the vaccines just like they are in people. But she had actually emailed me, and if you go to my website, you will find it if you scroll down, the package insert from the rabies vaccine made by Pfizer. It's called Defensor 3, and this is found on page 1351 of the 2007 edition of the Compendium of Veterinary Products, which is the 10th edition, and this is to pets what the physician's desk reference is to people. And I could not believe it when I saw what she sent me. This is pure gold from Dr. Jordan, where they actually state under safety and efficacy, and I quote, tissue origin vaccines contain extraneous protein in addition to rabies antigen that can lead to autoimmune disease. Now, you see, folks, it's not just the rabies vaccine that's made out of tissue cultures. All vaccines are made out of tissue cultures. That's how they culture the viruses and the bacteria, et cetera, et cetera. They have to grow it in something, and they either find a dead baby or a kidney, monkey kidney or horse serum or whatever they come up with. That is how they culture this stuff. That's how the cells grow. So it is the injection of that tissue into you with the vaccine that causes the autoimmune disease. Now, if you look on the lower left-hand side of the diagram, you'll see where I have autoantibodies to myelin. And this is what's causing all of the antibody-induced vaccine-related damage that is the nervous system encephalopathies, the post-vaccinal encephalitis, as Dr. Harris Coulter calls it in his book, Vaccination, Social Violence, and Criminality. You must get that book, folks. Please get that book. He describes things so well, and he's got so many references. This research has been going on since the early 1900s. They know what they're doing. And all of these problems, minimal brain dysfunction, attention deficit disorder, learning disabilities, mental retardation, criminal behavior, the whole spectrum of autism from Asperger's to PDD, Rett syndrome, it's all the same thing. Multiple sclerosis, Tourette syndrome, Parkinson's, Lou Gehrig's, Guillain-Barré, all of these demyelinating diseases are all caused by anti-myelin and anti-neuronal filament antibodies. The anti-neuronal filament antibodies are just antibodies against the nerves themselves, because if you're injected with an aborted baby's nerves, then you're going to develop antibodies against the nerves and the myelin sheath around it. And those antibodies will then attack you. And the only thing that determines which one of these diseases you get is where your nervous system is attacked, you see. And that's what's determined by your genetics. Your parents give you the strength of your immune system genetically. Everybody has a weak link. Your weak link is expressed when these toxins are injected into you. And on the very left-hand side, you will see sudden infant death syndrome and shaken baby syndrome. And if you go to my response to the CDC, also on my website at drcarly.com, you will read about acute necrotizing hemorrhagic encephalomyelitis. When you read that, you will realize it is sudden infant death syndrome. This is a demyelinating disease that happens so quickly that the brain turns to mush, so the child dies. And guess how they produce this condition experimentally? And I found this right in my medical books. They inject laboratory animals with a pertussis vaccine, people. That is how they produce this equivalent of sudden infant death syndrome in animals in the laboratory. Now, shaken baby syndrome is the same thing in almost all cases. I'm not saying it's not possible to shake a baby so much that you could cause this problem, you know, where you damage their nervous system. But when I did my obstetrics rotation when I was a medical student, I can tell you that I saw babies fall on the floor and bounce back up and didn't have a problem. So a baby's nervous system is very resilient to trauma such as that. What's actually happening with a shaken baby syndrome is that the baby will have some other physical evidence of trauma. Maybe they've got some bruises, maybe they have a broken bone. So if they can find some other trauma on the baby, then they'll call it shaken baby syndrome. And not only then do you have a dead baby, but they will prosecute you and put you in jail for life. And that is what they're doing with so many of these vaccine killed babies that they label as shaken baby syndrome, when in fact it is caused by demyelination leading to this condition called acute hemorrhagic necrotizing encephalomyelitis. Okay, running out of breath here. On the right-hand side of the diagram, we have all the other autoimmune diseases. Now, I'm not saying that I have them all listed, because I don't. Because I didn't have room to list them all. Because you can have an autoantibody attack against any organ or any tissue in your body. If a vaccine is made out of tissue, made from that same tissue in an aborted baby or an animal, if whatever tissue is in that vaccine, you're going to develop an antibody against it, and that's what's going to cause you to have an autoimmune problem. So, first of all, let's start with the leaky gut syndrome. If the mucosa of the GI tract is damaged, and there's many vaccines that have beef broth and all kinds of things like that in there, or you can actually have tissue that is similar to the inside of the intestinal tract from an animal or a dead baby in your vaccine, you develop antibodies against the lining of the GI tract. It pokes holes in the blood vessels of the GI tract. Once those holes are poked into the blood vessels, as you're digesting your food, particles of food that are bigger than the building blocks of the proteins, you know, the amino acids and the small-level sugars and things of that nature, the food is supposed to be broken down into its building blocks for it to be absorbed in your lower small intestine. If you have leaky gut syndrome, what's happening is that as the food is being broken down, it's being released into your bloodstream before it's in its final building block stages. So you're getting bigger pieces. And there are certain foods that are particularly likely to cause food allergies, such as wheat and milk and peanuts, things of that nature, corn. So if you eat those foods and they're absorbed into your bloodstream without being fully digested, you will develop an antibody against those food particles because they're not in their totally broken down stage. And then every time you eat that food, you will have an allergic reaction. That's what a food allergy is, you see. And we never even learned about the leaky gut syndrome in medical school. So, you know, it's pretty amazing how they've hidden all these things from the junior white coats as they're taking their courses, their 10 hours in nutrition and their 2 years in pharmacology. These little things never get mentioned. So that's what causes leaky gut syndrome. If you get antibodies against the islet cells of the pancreas, those are the cells that make insulin, the beta cells. If you get antibodies against those cells and those cells are destroyed, you will develop diabetes, insulin-dependent diabetes. But it's even worse than that at this point, because now you can even develop antibodies against the insulin itself. There's all kinds of subparts to what I'm talking about. I can't get really detailed about this because I don't want to confuse you, but this will be in the book that I'm going to write. But suffice it to say, if you have pancreatic islet cells in the tissue culture that your vaccine viruses are cultured on, and those are injected into you, you will develop insulin-dependent diabetes. And I have little babies with insulin-dependent diabetes now. It's unbelievable. One of the main vaccines that has tremendously increased the rate of diabetes is the chickenpox vaccine. If you get antibodies against the inside, the lining, it's called the mucosa of your respiratory tract, you get asthma. And this is because your body has been sensitized once those antibodies are attacking the inside of your respiratory tract, and then certain things like dust and pollen and other things that you're allergic to will trigger you to have an asthma attack. And, of course, this can be life-threatening in itself. If you get antibodies against the surface of your joints, you get rheumatoid arthritis. If you get antibodies against your skin, and this can happen at different layers of the skin, the top level is the epidermis. If you get antibodies against that, you will get eczema. As the layers of the skin get deeper and the dermis is involved, you get psoriasis and scleroderma. If you have antibodies against the kidneys, you get nephritis. And there are different parts to the kidneys. There's the glomerulus, which is the filtering apparatus, which actually filters the blood and makes the urine. Antibodies against that are called glomerulonephritis. That is also caused by vaccines. But there's different parts of the kidney that can be involved with autoimmune disease. There's good pasture syndrome. There's all kinds of autoimmune diseases just of the kidney. These are all caused by vaccinations. If you get antibodies against your thymus gland, which is a gland that's behind your breastbone, which is where the T cells are supposed to go to school. That's where the T cells learn how to work. You get antibodies against that gland, and you get something called myasthenia gravis. If you get antibodies against your own DNA, that is called lupus. And I just had a client called me up today, actually, who was diagnosed with lupus when she was only 15 years old. And I hope she's listening tonight. She's now 40. And just listening to this poor woman tell me about what the white coats had done to her and all the drugs that they put her on. They actually put her on a drug that's given to transplant patients, which is supposed to, you know, prevent rejection. Now, just so that you know, transplant rejection is on the macro level what I'm talking about on the micro level here. You see, the reason you reject a transplanted organ is because your body recognizes it as foreign, it develops antibodies against it, and kills it. So that's what's happening with transplant patients. And that's why transplant patients have to be given drugs to suppress their immune system. Once you give them drugs to suppress their immune system, of course, they are very likely to have cancer. Because if the immune system is not working, the immune system cannot kill the cancer cells that we all have. So this poor woman was given transplant rejection drugs, and now she's got these nodes growing in her neck. And her white coat is telling her not to worry about it, but of course they want to do a CAT scan on the weekend, which of course CAT scans use radiation, which cause cancer. I mean, it's unbelievable. And of course the problem is with lupus, since with lupus you are allergic to your own DNA. With lupus, any organ can be involved. You can get, you know, blindness, you can get arthritis, you can get kidney failure, you can get all kinds of things. Lupus is really probably the worst autoimmune disease. So this is what's going on, folks. This is how they're causing all autoimmune disease and cancer. And as a matter of fact, I just want to mention in my article, Inoculations, the True Weapons of Mass Destruction, which I do update on a regular basis as I get more information. Actually, now I'm working on my book, so I'm probably not going to update it again for a while because I'm going to write this book, which is going to be massively, bigger in terms of the explanations of all these things with lots of references. But if you check that article out, one of the last things that I mentioned in that article, one of my last ads that I, you know, the additions that I put in, which is in red, you will see reference to an article entitled B-Cells Move to Center Stage, Novel Opportunities for Autoimmune Disease Treatment by Jeffrey L. Browning. Jeffrey L. Browning works for the Department of Immunobiology at Biogen in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Now, it's very funny because this article, I had it on my website in a way that if you clicked on it, it would lead you right to the article, and the link worked for, like, months. But they must have found out about that because now if you click on that link, it doesn't work anymore. It will bring you to the journal, but then they want you to pay them to read the article because they don't want you to see this, folks, because, you see, Jeffrey L. Browning proves everything I said is true. Now, you have to realize that what I told you just now as I described this third diagram, I didn't learn any of this in medical school. I figured it out for myself. My mind works very well. I've been detoxing for 10 years, and I have very spiritual connections, let's just say. I ask a question, I pray, I meditate, I ask for an answer, and books fall off shelves and open up the pages. That's what it's like to live as myself. When you put your life in service to the truth, the Creator makes miracles happen every day. It's just amazing. And when I found this article, I had to laugh because Jeffrey L. Browning, of course, works for a medical company, this Biogen company. And the reason he wrote this article about how the B cells are causing all autoimmune disease is because they're developing a B cell depleting antibody drug. Now, you have to laugh. You see, the vaccines corrupt the immune system. They cause the B cells to go into hyperdrive. So the white coat's answer is not to stop the vaccinations and stop the corruption of the immune system. They're going to make a drug to attack the B cells. You know, this is just the same as you develop cancer from vaccines, and we're going to develop a vaccine for cancer. Peanut allergies are caused from vaccines. They're now developing vaccines for peanut allergies. I mean, if it wasn't so insane, you would have to laugh. But it's really quite amazing. This is, let's see, how long is this article? It's 12 pages long. References up the wazoo. Let's see, it's got 175 references on here. And Mr. Browning proved everything I said is correct. The only thing he doesn't mention is how the B cells go crazy in the first place. So that's pretty much it, folks. That's the explanation of the third diagram. I do want to mention that I'm going to make these CDs of my talks, the talks explaining my diagrams, available to the listeners. So at some point, if you want to get them, and I encourage you to copy them and give them to everybody you know, especially your white coat, take them to the white coat, tell them Dr. Carly has a $10,000 reward on her website. She wants you to prove her wrong. Because, you see, I don't want to believe any of this, folks. Because to believe this, I have to realize that my profession has been totally corrupted and they're causing the biggest epidemic the world has ever known. Unfortunately, I don't believe it. I know it. I have documentation of this. I have years of research. And most importantly, I have my protocol, which reverses all autoimmune disease and cancer, based on what I'm telling you here tonight. So on next week's show, I'm going to describe the last diagram, which is the good news, in terms of my protocol and how I, you know, pretty much specialize that protocol for people with different kinds of problems. So I do encourage you to listen next week as well. And please do call me if you have any questions and you want to get a consult. I will explain how I do the consults, which is basically like getting a master's level education in how to get well, how to stay well. I give out about 30 CDs with my consults, many handouts on different supplements that I teach you about. I don't sell anything, but I do tell you where you can get different supplements. Some of them you can get from a health food store. Some that you have to get from specific places. And what you do is go through one detox at a time while taking natural things to uncorrupt your immune system and fix the damage that's been done to your body or your pet's body as well. I have many pets as clients also. So I do thank you for listening. I do thank BBS Radio for letting me go over tonight. I really appreciate it. I do thank the callers for their wonderful questions, and I encourage you to call in next week as well. And I want you to realize, folks, that the only way that this is going to stop, this inoculation holocaust, is if we do it. The white coats have been totally corrupted. The pharmaceutical cartels have taken over medicine. And, of course, they're putting so much money into the back pockets of the criminals in the District of Criminals who are writing all this legislation, that the only way it's going to stop is if we stand up and say no. And just remember the smallpox vaccine, which President Bush was pushing a couple years ago for the health care workers, and he wanted all the health care workers to be inoculated with smallpox. And if you remember, a few of them were stupid enough to go along with the program. And those people, many of them had heart attacks and died and had other terrible reactions. But most of them said no. And what happened? It went away. They just kind of like stopped talking about it and just, you know, put other news in the forefront to you know, make us forget that they had ever tried that little maneuver. We can do the same thing with the bird flu vaccine. When they come to give you the bird flu vaccine, you can just say no. And if enough of us just say no, they're not going to be able to cause their pandemic because there's natural things you can do. There's even homeopathics against the bird flu. There's colloidal silver. There's garlic. There's vitamin C. There's so many things you can do to boost your immune system. So stop being afraid of the bugs. The bugs are not the problem. It's your toxic body that allows the bugs to get in there and affect you and morph into more dangerous bugs. Remember what I said about Antoine Bechamp? Check him out on Google. He's got a few books out. They're a little complicated, but if you spend your time, you will understand it. This is what you need to know, folks. This is how you empower yourself. Become your own healer. Do not go to the white coats. They are the ones making you sick. And when enough people realize that and they make themselves well and their brains start working and they can actually think, then it's going to be pretty amazing how it all works out because they're going to start asking questions about lots of other things that are going on in this world, like 9/11 and the fake war in Iraq and all kinds of other things. So on that note, I will bid you a good night. Please do stay tuned next week. And just remember, folks, to wake up, America. It's getting very late, but it's not too late to change things. Good night.